Thank you so much. The scripture that we read in Matthew is usually the event that is alluded to as the triumphant entry. This is when the Lord Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem just before he was crucified. And so we'll look at this script and see a few things that we can learn from it. And so our topic or the heading will be the conquering king. The conquering king. Now, when you talk of the conquest, or when you think of conquering, and when you think of the wars or the battles and the kings of this world and their conquest is normally in the winning of the battles and in subduing their opponents. And usually what they come with destruction, leaving nothing but destruction, because what they want at the end is the glory to be to the conquest, king or nation or anything like that. These days, it's not these days that we are living in. I think we are accustomed to some Cold War somewhere, and now the real war that is going on in some places in this nation. Sorry, in this world, we know the war that is going on in Ukraine, and there are some wars, or there are some civil wars going on elsewhere, and in some places in this world. And at the end of the day, all what people want to do is to settle their egos and their superiority, and also to see that they are powerful or not. But here's our Lord Jesus Christ, and this triumphant entry, which was seen to be something, the way he went, the way he entered Jerusalem, he rode on a donkey, is something that one could think that it wasn't in so to say a triumphant entry. It was a lowly entry. But to you and me, as Christian, this is a triumphant entry, and we are thinking of a conquering king. Three things that we want to pick up from this and encourage ourselves as Christians and as brethren, even as we head towards the Easter service. Now, you do know that in some circles, before Easter, there is a Sunday which is called a Palm Sunday. Yeah? This is the scripture which is normally alluded to, that Palm Sunday. And in some circles, they celebrate this a week before the Easter Sunday. And in this year, I think Easter Sunday will be on 9th of April. And so the so-called Palm Sunday will be maybe around 2nd of April. But we are not talking about the Palm Sunday. We are talking about the king who came, the king who conquered, the king who redeemed us, and the king who deserved the rightful respect that he was supposed to. You'd wonder where the people came from, those who started singing Hosanna, those who started giving glory. And in those days, spreading the garments in the way showed the homage and how people respected someone who was passing by. In these days, I think the kings of this world will see the red carpets being spread, you know, and all kinds of pomp, the soldiers with their guard of honors and all that. That is the respect that is shown into the kings of this world with that great pomp. But look at our Lord. Look at our glorious Lord and his humility, riding on the donkey, coming into Jerusalem, coming to fulfill all that which is important for you and for me. Because without him treading that way, without him going to that way to Jerusalem, without him entering Jerusalem, we were going to be pitied because our salvation was not going to be wrought. This is the time that the Lord went, knowing fully well what was going to happen to him, that he was going to die, and that he was going to be crucified, and that he was going to be mistreated at the hands of his own creation for the sake of mankind, for the sake of you and me. So when we think of the Lord getting into Jerusalem, some scriptures records for us when he, if we go down, and when he looked at the city Jerusalem, he wept over it. Because they couldn't recognize their Messiah. They couldn't recognize their king. But it befitted him to go that way and to enter in that way. And we see him being glorified to fulfill the scriptures which were written before. We read in Zechariah concerning the way he drove and the way he went into Jerusalem in that lowly manner. But this is a king who was ready to go and conquer on our behalf and die that shameful death so that you and me today, we can have this privilege and this joy and this guarantee to know that we have life and life everlasting. This blessing that has come to us. And so I want to see three things in this entry that the Lord Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem. I want to see that God's blessings for his people and the victory over death and the peace that has come to us. The thing is, if you look at what was going to happen to the Lord Jesus Christ, into Jerusalem. And you know, when he predicted of what was going to happen to him at Jerusalem, and all the lay in by the Pharisees, some of the disciples actually didn't want him to go to Jerusalem. But because that's what he came for, because he came to fulfill that he was sent for, he was ready to conquer. He was ready to go that path, and he was ready to go to Jerusalem and there for him to be mistreated and for him to die and for him to overcome death so that you and me today, we can triumph. We can have triumph over death, and we can have this life that we have today. This story comes to us as believers with certain contrasts, in that this is the king that we are seeing coming in as a lowly servant, riding on a donkey, and not in the royal robes that I spoke of, not with pomp, not with guards, not with anything that could distract anyone, but he came in such a poor and humble way. And you could hear the description that they described him. Say, this is the prophet, the Jesus of Nazareth from Galilee. And they looked him as a lowly king. This is exactly what it meant, because he came in that lowly manner, lowering himself so that he can become victorious on your behalf and on my behalf, so that today we have this privilege that we have to be called the children of God, and that the world can have the salvation that came with him. But when you look at the world, the way they look at this, when they talk of the Palm Sunday, when they talk of the branches, the palm branches and everything, what was spread in there, is more than that. It's more than that. We look at this Christ who was despised. We look at him who came in such a humble way. We look at him who came in such a poor and humble way. But one thing we know, that Christ came not to conquer by force or the way the earthly kings does, conquering by force. The wars that we are hearing in certain places, but he came with love. He came with grace. He came with mercy for his own people, for you and for me, and to offer him as a sacrifice for his people. And this is the blessings that we have for his people, that Christ came and offered himself as a sacrifice once and for all. That final sacrifice, you know, he came and offered himself once and for all, that final sacrifice, so that you and me, all that we need to do is to come to him and be saved. You know, we have a special place in Christ, us who are Christians. Because if you look into the old economy and what used to happen, some people or the poor were disadvantaged because there were certain offerings that they were supposed to offer to the priests before an atonement can be made for their sins, and before anything can be done for them. But you and me, we have this privilege that Christ came and offered himself as a sacrifice once and for all to bring us peace, that you and me may have peace with God, you and me may have peace within God, and you and me may have peace within our hearts, and we can have the assurance of our salvation, that at the end of it all, the grace and the mercy and the love has been bestowed upon us. It all came because of this triumphant entry, because it was the peak that signified, that was pointing to his death, that was pointing to his suffering, that he was going to suffer at the hand of the Pharisees, at the hand of the Jews in Jerusalem. And Christ chose to tread that path, and he went that path, and he drove that path, and he conquered till to the end. What do we see afterwards? We see that Christ was mistreated, Christ suffered, Christ was crucified, and he was crucified for you and for me. The only good thing is that you see, despite that the world despised him, yet he was given his rightful place as a king. Despite that they looked at him as a prophet who is coming from Nazareth, but he received his rightful place. We see people honoring him with their own clothes, with his disciples, singing to him, Hosanna to the King. And, you know, we read from scriptures, and again, if we read in Psalm and chapter 118 and verse 26, scripture tells us that blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, the Lord wept for Jerusalem. It's because of the sin and because of not recognizing him as the Messiah. We see the first thing that he did When you look at the recordings that has been recorded concerning this incident, Matthew records for us, if we go down, that when he entered the temple, he overturned the money changers and drove them away and warned them to say, "Who has made you? You have made the house of my father to be a den for thieves." And you see that that didn't sit well in the eyes of the Pharisees, because the way they regarded him, they regarded him as somebody who was lowly, as somebody who came just from a place which they could not recognize. But because he was received and as a king, and you know, the other thing that we must realize is that, you see, others who recognized him as the savior, they thought that when he was coming down to Jerusalem, he was going to physically overthrow the Roman soldiers, overthrow and redeem them from the burdens that they were suffering, the taxes that were sufferings at the hands of the Roman soldiers. But that was more than what Christ came to do. Because if he came just to redeem us from our physical needs or our physical sufferings, then it meant that nothing was going to be done for us, because at the end of it all, we were going to perish in our sins, despite our physical needs being fulfilled. And this should be a warning to those who doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior. You can have all your physical needs met. You can have all your physical challenges met. You can have all your needs met. But if you don't have Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are to be pitied, because at the end of it all, you are still living in your sins. And so if the Jews or the Israelites at that moment, they expected Christ just as a savior from their troubles that they were having from the Roman soldier, from the Roman government, from the taxes that they were paying from the Romans. And if that was only the thing that they were looking forward to, then it was a pity. And that's why Christ, when he looked at what was happening, he looked with pity and with dismay that people wanted to make him as their own physical king. But he is more than the physical king that we may think of in this world. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, because he is above all. And that's what scripture rightly puts him, that he is above all the kings, he is above all the lords. Because when he ascended, scripture tells us that at the mention of his name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. But his lordliness and his meekness usually makes people not to recognize him as the king and as the Lord. And so what can we learn from this conquering king? What can we learn from this lowly entry and the lowly ride of the Lord Jesus Christ? He didn't go into Jerusalem with that pomp that we are seeing in this world. He didn't go riding on the red carpets that we see in this world. He didn't go with so much motorcades that we see in this world. It was on the donkey. The donkey that has never been ridden on. The donkey that has never been trained. That is what Christ wrote on to enter Jerusalem. But what does this lowliness and that meekness means to us? as Christians, and as we ponder upon the Easter, as we think of what the Lord did for us, and as we think of what the Lord went through, the sufferings that he went through, all the way to Calvary until crucifixion, what can we think of? And what can we learn from this situation as believers? One, Christ as the Lord's servant, riding on a donkey, his love, his grace, and his mercy, his lowliness, and his servanthood. This is the message for us, which is one of peace with God. And this is not the temporal peace that we may know. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the peace that comforts our hearts. It's the peace that keeps us going. It's the peace that makes us what we are as believers and as Christians. And so Christ made the triumphant entry. If we allow him to make that entry into our hearts and reigns therein into us and peace and love, so as his followers, we should then exhibit those same qualities. Those same qualities that the world may see a true king reigning in triumph in us. We should always strive to be lowly. We should always strive to gain that servanthood. We should always strive to love. We should always look to that grace. We should always continue in the message of the Lord. We should allow Christ to reign within us. He came in that lowliness. He rode on that donkey, signifying the peace. But at the end of it all, the victory that he overcame through the suffering that he went through while he was at Jerusalem until he was crucified. After he was crucified, we know that he rose triumphantly and now lives high above. He is now exalted at the right hand of the Majesty on high, bearing the name above all names, above all kings. This is the Christ that we are thinking of. This is our Lord that we are thinking of this evening. How great he is, the conquering king, the loving king, bringing the blessings to his people, bringing peace to us, and bringing the victory even over death. You know, when you look at the description of the scripture concerning the entry of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's something that we look at, or something that somebody would look at as something that is completely nothing concerning this world, concerning the pomp of this world, concerning the kings of this world. And that's why they can't comprehend that the entry of the Lord Jesus Christ could be alluded to as a triumphant entry. But you and me, who knows the deep love that we have experienced concerning what Christ went through, concerning what Christ did for us, concerning what Christ planned for us on Mount Calvary, we know that he is our conquering king. We know that he has blood blessings upon his people. We know that we have peace with God, and we know that we have victory over death. It is our prayer that as we look forward to Easter, as we look forward to celebrate the death of our Lord and all that he did for us, can Christ reign in us triumphantly, and that we may emulate his meekness, that we may emulate his lowliness, and that we may emulate his servanthood. Because that's what Christ did for us. He was so meek. He was so loving, still loving to the sinner up to now, still loving to us, and also continues to be in service for us. It is my prayer, and it is our prayer, that as we go towards Easter, and as I say that this scripture that we've considered today in some circles, they consider it as a Palm Sunday. And as I say, this Sunday, I think normally they do celebrate it a week before Easter, and Easter this time around will be on 9th. So those who celebrate Palm Sunday, they will be celebrating it maybe on the second of April. But for you and me, it is more than a Palm Sunday because of what it brought to us, because of the victory of that entry that it brought to us, because of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he triumphant over all what was before him, all the suffering that he was going to go through for you and for me. It's not about the physical healing. It's not about the physical accomplishment, as some of the Israelites or some of the Jews thought at that particular time. Because they could read in the scriptures, as we read, that the Messiah shall come. And for them, they thought that you come to save them from their physical sufferings that they were suffering at the hands of the Roman government. But Christ came more than just that. He came to redeem the entire world, that through his suffering, through his death, you and me today, we can stand before him. You and me can be chosen to be his people. And so this brought the blessings upon his people in that Christ offered himself as a final sacrifice, in that we don't now need to repeatedly go before, as it used to be in the past, in the old economy, every year going before the priests and the priests going into the Holy of Holies, atoning for sins of men, which was just for a season. And you know, they used to go with bulls of goats and this and that, and the scapegoat for them. And it was just for a season, that the blood of bulls, the blood of goats, which were slaughtered in the old economy, could not for sin atone. But when Christ came, Christ went into Jerusalem, Christ suffered for us, Christ went to the cross, Christ was crucified, offered himself as a sacrifice once and for all, that now you and me who have put the trust in him, we have this triumph. We have this triumph over death, and we have overcome death, and that now we can stand knowing fully well that our sins have been forgiven, knowing fully well that we are the children of God. So let Christ reign triumphantly in our hearts, that we should also look to be meek, look to be lowly, and look to have that peace that comes with him. Not just the temporal peace, but that glorious and eternal peace, and that Christ may reign within us in peace and in love. As his followers, as Christians, as believers individually, and as a church, it is our prayer that we exhibit those same qualities, and that the world out there may see and may learn from us that indeed the true King, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is exalted at the right hand of God, reign in us. You see, the world says that action speaks louder than words. We are always monitored as Christians. Our steps are always monitored as Christians. What we do is always monitored as Christians, just as before. And so it will be good and important that the triumphant Christ reigns in our hearts, and his triumphant reflects within us, that as we go out there, as we serve him, we should not put his name to shame, but that glory and honor and majesty should continue being ascribed even unto his name. He came in that lowly manner, riding on that donkey. Only clothes were spread, and palms and branches. Scripture doesn't say palms, but it says branches. Yeah, some spread the branches, and then the Christ rode on them. He didn't ride on the red carpets of this world. That is the lowliness of our Lord. But what do we see in this? We see a conquering king. We see a triumphant king. We see Christ overcoming death. We see salvation coming to us. So this should encourage us, and this should even encourage us to go forward, even as we head towards the Easter, even as we look forward to celebrate the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that it brought to us, and his resurrection, and all what it means to us, and all what it brought to us. This should bring joy to us as Christians, that the one whom we believe, the one whom we trust, he is a conquering king. He has conquered the world. And so nothing should make us fear. We may be perplexed by the circumstances of this world. We may be dismayed by the pomp of this world. But our desire as Christians and as the people of God is to walk in that lowly manner, and is always to reflect the triumphant Christ living in us, that at the end of it all, the name of the Lord should be glorified and should be magnified. I hope that the Lord would encourage us with these few words, that we may see the triumphant King, the conquering King, the one now who reigns and he occupies his rightful place high above. This is the King that we trust on. This is the King that leads us. And this is the King that reigns in our hearts. In closing, shall we sing hymn number 20?